I want to welcome you to High Mill Church. It really is a joy to be back here. I know now 2 weeks in, it has been a whirlwind. It has gone extremely fast, but man, there's no better place to be. And I pray you feel excitement to be in the house of God. I pray you feel joy and that sense of expectation of what God wants to speak through His Word, because that's why we're here. We're here to encounter the living God, the one who is faithful. You know, last Sunday, we jumped into this topic about the faithfulness of God. And how God is always present, always with us at all times. And that every experience we go through in life gives an opportunity for us to respond in such a way that gives an outcome for us to experience His faithfulness. And if you remember last week, we prayed for Stan Deering, huge leader here at High Mill Church, awesome man of God. He was supposed to be here, but I don't see him. Okay, he's not here. Stan Deering had a very serious stroke this past week. Many of you were with him at the hospital. I know when I sat down with him, the amount of joy and wisdom and happiness and joke-telling in this man was mind-blowing. But he has made a very, very good recovery. And so we prayed. God moved. God's faithful. Amen? Right. I'm going to teach you. Those kinds of testimonies are the times where we clap our hands and we celebrate the goodness of our God and how faithful He is. All right, we're going to continue going this morning, and we're going to dive into a topic that is so important for us as Christians and us as individuals living in the time that we are living in. You see, talking about the faithfulness of God last week leads us to realize that God is faithful both on this side of heaven and the next side of heaven, that He is faithful to be with us, to show us things, to renew us, to restore what the enemy has taken. Because you see, for so many of us, the enemy has robbed us of many things. The enemy has won many battles against us. But our God is good. And He brings restoration. He brings back things that are missing. And as you're going to see in a moment, I believe there's something that is missing in the church at large that is very serious. In February, when I was still in recovery, I had a day where I was kind of finally just by myself. Michelle was able to leave me to just be. She was probably excited just to go, right? I wasn't easy to handle, but I was alone. And I was in the front room, and I was in the corner of our living room where there's this chair. It's like my chair. It's my place to go. Okay, you might have saw a picture of it at different times. It was my home for like 3 months, okay? So I was sitting there, and I was able to situate myself to where I didn't feel as much pain. So I sat up, and I thought, okay, I'm going to have this time alone. I'm just going to pray, and I'm just going to journal, and I'm going to seek God. And so I began to do just that. No agenda, no nothing, just, God, I love You. Thank You, you know, for bringing us through this. Thank You for what You're doing. I'm excited for what You're doing. But it was kind of just going through the motions. You know, I was journaling and just writing out different scriptures and the things that God was speaking to me. I had music on. And all of a sudden, that moment, I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit that I did not see coming. I did not expect. And man, did it take me by surprise. When I say encounter with the Holy Spirit, what I'm speaking about is those moments where in our walk with Christ, we encounter the supernatural presence of God in a way that we cannot make sense of. And so there I was in that chair, listening to music, and I had my eyes closed, worshiping, and I experienced His presence directly beside me, as though somebody was in the room with me. At first, it scared me, but I kept my eyes closed, and I felt tremendous peace. I felt tremendous, my heart was beating. It's hard to even explain what it felt like, but I knew the Spirit of God was in this room with me. And I just began to pray. And as my heart beat faster, I just began to say, Holy Spirit, what do You want to speak? I know You're in this room. I can't see You, but I feel You. I know You're here. And He said to me, I want you to look at your own heart. I want you to look at yourself. And it was so crazy because it was like I saw myself sitting down. And I saw my heart. And in my heart, I saw this empty space, and I heard the voice of God keep saying, something's missing, something is missing, something is missing. And I felt this sense of paranoia, and I began to say out loud, God, what is missing? What am I doing wrong? You know, what am I not seeing that You see? And the presence of God, in that voice, that you can't even explain, but in the about a month or so, we're going into a series where we're going to dive into the voice of God, said to me, I'm restoring joy into your life. I'm restoring joy because it's been missing. Immediately, I had two little tears that welled up in the corners of my eye. Tears began to fall. I blared the worship music, and I was filled with this sense of overwhelming excitement and passion, and like a deep river of joy that was flowing from the inside of me. I felt the heaviness of everything I had been going through, not only surgery, but even before, fall slowly, feeling light again, feeling like I was able to feel his presence again. And I just thanked him. And he just kept saying that something that is missing is joy, and I'm restoring it back to you. And all I said was, God, you're faithful. You are faithful. Thank you. From that day on in February through recovery up to the present day, I've experienced a healing that I've never experienced in my entire life. And the reason I'm sharing this story is because many of you have asked questions, what about the journey? What have you experienced? This is the pinnacle of what I've experienced. It was healing. Spiritually, mentally, even physically, my body was healing at such a rapid pace. I would go to the doctors for our checkups, and they would do my blood work and my liver enzymes and everything, and they said, you're healing faster now, and your numbers are better than before you got surgery. It doesn't make sense. Keep doing whatever you're doing. I know why. The God we serve is faithful. That's what I chalk it up to. I can't explain it. I have an ultrasound Thursday to check the size of the liver and see how much it's healed. But I know that God began a healing work. But what was the vehicle that he used? What was the avenue that he chose to bring healing? Three letters, one small word, joy. Joy. My story might be unique. I understand that illustration is extremely specific. But you and I are no different. There's healing that God longs to do in your life. There's renovation, restoration that he wants to do in your life. And you try so hard to figure out what's missing, trying so hard to fix every avenue of what might be, you know, the part that's leaving you hanging. And the Holy Spirit's here telling you, I'm going to heal you, but I want to give you my joy. You see, three letters, one small word that is so important. When I look at the church at large, in Western Christianity, in our country, you could even say our church here, in my own life, the one thing is missing oftentimes is joy. Not a happiness. I know many of us understand the difference. Happiness based on happenstance. Joy is the deep presence that wells up inside of us, that comes out in a sense of peace and confidence, a full understanding of where we're going, what we're headed for. That's joy, because we know the God we serve. It's missing. It's missing. I'm sure not all of you might say that's missing, but come on, be real. There's a part of you that has that hole inside that you know something's missing. I'm telling you, it's the joy of God's presence. It's the healing power of God's Spirit within you, walking beside you. You know, I've been honored to have spent much time with Christians who are being persecuted, hunted, and chased down in Syria and Lebanon. And every one of our gatherings, I've been with them in their homes, with their families. The one thing I can use to describe them was joy. And I couldn't explain it. And I would always think to myself, how are you so joyful? I've been with such dire poverty in Kenya, in Uganda, in Rwanda, in Honduras. And man, when we gather together, it's joy. They've got nothing. But they are excelling at a level in ministry, in life, in closeness with the Spirit of God. And the only way I can explain it is joy. And when I come back to look at, you know, our own country, our own culture, man, you know what the stats point to? I hope you have a sense of humor with me. We might be the most miserable bunch of people on the planet. It's true. I mean, with everything that we have, everything that is at our possession to alleviate pain, to alleviate suffering, to alleviate everything under the sun here, we are the most miserable bunch of people on the planet, both in the church and outside. I had stats that I was looking at. I was going to make this PowerPoint, you know, thing to show you. I got sad looking at it. I'm like, I can't, no way. Like, we're preaching on the joy of God's presence. I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer this morning, right? But it's true that something is missing. You see, joy is an emotional and internal response to a revelation of something that is concrete. Joy is an eternal, emotional response to something, to a revelation of something that is concrete, that is true. Have you ever had this moment, parents, okay? And maybe if your kids are younger, okay? Have you ever had a moment where maybe you're driving and you're just thinking, maybe you look in your rearview mirror and you see your kids and you do a double take like, whoa, I got kids? I'm not like a teenager anymore. I got responsibilities still? Oh my gosh, look at my kids. They're so grown. It's like a revelation, right? Okay, you're not giving me the feedback that kind of shows me you've had this. I'm not a bad dad, I promise. I love my kids. I don't forget about them most of the time. You'll see where I'm going with this, okay. Michelle's like, oh, dear God. But there's those moments where you look at your children and you're like, wow, look at you. Look how much you're growing. Look how amazing you've grown into as a young, you know, young boy, young girl. I have that time, I have those moments a lot. And it just catches me by surprise, and I'm so thankful that I'm a parent. And it's like that revelation. See, oftentimes that revelation needs to happen again and again with what we have in Christ. For us to recognize, whoa, wait a second. As a Christian, look what I have. Look what I've been called to. Look what I am free from. Wow. I'm blown away, God. A revelation of something that is concrete truth results in joy. Joy cannot be found by searching for it in of itself. That's the problem with our culture. Joy, true joy from above, is found by a revelation, an encounter, an experience with something that is beyond true, that is supernatural, that is from above, that is from God. And that is the only true joy that will actually transform who we are. You see, we all want it. Few have it. But man, we settle for many counterfeits of it. And the Holy Spirit longs for us as the church to have a revelation again of what we have in Jesus, of who we are as Christians. And a revelation with that concrete truth will be all that we need to transform us to becoming a beacon of light for Plain Township, for the city of Canton, for Northeast Ohio, for this region. Because people are drawn to the gospel of Jesus Christ when it is bathed in joy. When a people have responded with joy and recognizing who they are. But if something's missing, not going to happen. We need a revelation. Thankfully, Peter helps us with that this morning. I pray you have the Word of God with you, because there's nothing like diving into the Word of God together. Okay, so if you didn't bring your Bible, lucky you, because it's on your phones. Okay, let's get our phones out. Let's get our Bibles out. We're going to go to 1 Peter together, and we're going to encounter truth, concrete truth, and I believe it's going to be enough to shake your foundations this morning, okay? Let's go to 1 Peter, and we'll start in verse 3. All right, 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's stop right there. Do you hear the tone of his voice? Can you hear it? Can you sense what Peter is saying there? Let me just try reading the first part and how I think Peter is trying to come across to you and I. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth and living hope. See how different that is from blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When these letters were written, we got to remember, guys, these were written to be read out loud. They didn't have email and, you know, their own Bibles. These were letters that somebody stood to declare. There is joy coming in Peter's voice. There is joy that he is trying to give to the church. That's the tone. I can imagine when Peter was writing this, his hands shaking so fast, the quill going back and forth, because he's so full of excitement. Because he's realizing, oh my gosh, you know, bless you, Father. Who you are, what you've done. You are the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. That's joy. That's passion. Look what he says here in these little short verses. He says that you and I have a new birth. A new birth. Well, I don't get it, Pastor Noah. I'm already old. I'm already this age. How can I be born again? Here we go. Your flesh, sorry about this, but it's decaying. Mine is decaying. This right here is temporary. You have a soul that will last for eternity, that will live forever. And that soul has been born anew with a new understanding of life, a new understanding of purpose. How? Because the Holy Spirit within you did a clean house, a renovation, and he made all things new. That's pretty exciting. That should get you excited. Okay? Okay. What else does he say? You have a living hope. You have purpose. That from now until death, no matter what you go through, there is a living hope that anchors who you are and what you go through. All the disappointments, setbacks, trials, all of it, you have a living hope that can't die. There's a reason he says living. It's because it's a hope that is right now alive. Our King is alive. Jesus is alive. He will return for his church. He will make all things new. That's a living hope. Those two things right there should be enough for the church to not even be able to shut up because of how excited we are. And if it doesn't even move the pulse, come on. Dry bones live, right? I've had to tell myself that many times. Look what we have in Christ. You see, joy comes not from what we pursue, what we get. Joy comes from what he has already done. Joy is right here, available for the church, for you and I. It's right here because he already accomplished it. Peter says we have an inheritance. He's not really able to convey it well. And so rather than one word, he gives three. Listen to what he says. He calls this inheritance that you and I have imperishable, undefiled, unfading. It can't be destroyed. It's not spoiling. It's not going to decay. It is protected by God forever because of who you have been on this side of heaven, because of your faithfulness, because of your loyalty, because of your allegiance. The Father sees that, recognizes it, and tells you, you better be full of joy because there's an inheritance that is awaiting your last breath. And when you come and you see me, oh my goodness, it is going to be amazing. You see, for the early church, that truth is what motivated their race every single day. Their race in following Jesus wasn't motivated by day-to-day things or trying to hit some level of spirituality. No, it was anchored by a concrete truth that one day Jesus would be at the other end of this and would honor our hard work, honor our suffering, honor our labor in Christ. And that brought joy. I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for joy in a person, you're going to be disappointed. If you're looking for joy in a career, you're going to feel incomplete. If you're looking for joy in sin, I won't mince words, you're going to die. I'm not threatening you, okay? This is the word of God. Where there is sin, there's death. If you try to find identity or joy or pleasure in sin knowingly as a Christian, you're going to die. Don't flirt with that line. Come back. If you're looking for joy in a life free of difficulty, everything lining up perfectly, you will search for a lifetime because it's not going to happen. Joy will only come from above, from the Father, through what has already been accomplished. Let's keep going here with Peter. Verse 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Two things will happen every single time you go through testing. Three, if you're lucky. The first two, discomfort, disappointment. Every single time. You're uncomfortable because things are happening. You're being tested. Your faith is being tested because you didn't see it happening that way. You'll be disappointed because, let's be honest, in your ego, you thought, well, surely this testing should happen to other people, but not me. Why me? So you face disappointment and discomfort. This is what Peter's talking about here. But man, if you are lucky, you get to experience a third thing that takes place in testing. And that is to have joy in testing. To be an excellent follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to take challenges, disappointments, unforeseen things. We're called to take those, to bring them close to us, not run from them, but to bring them close to us, to find joy in them and recognize that on the other side of that testing, on the other side of that purging, is a reality that is so glorious, so beautiful. And I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about being a man or woman of God, seasoned in trials, seasoned in storms, recognizing that your faith is growing, your boldness is growing in Christ because you are standing the test. You are standing the trial. That's why Peter says to rejoice. Do you notice how he says, you know, all this is happening, right? But you have joy even if. I would like to think that we could get to that place where we are filled with a joy that anchors the soul, even if we're going through difficulty, even if we have illness, even if we're discomforted, disappointed. That's maturity. That's depth. And again, what's the vehicle that God uses to carry us from one season in through that testing to the next? Joy. Maybe not happiness. There's been times I haven't been happy, but I've been joyful. He uses joy. That's what Peter's communicating to this young church. The scariest thing about a joyless Christian life is that it kind of comes upon you when you don't realize it. You've heard about, you know, carbon monoxide? I always say dioxide. I think it's monoxide. Help me out here. Am I right? Okay, I'm right. Carbon monoxide, that silent gas that will kill. It creeps in, and it comes, and you don't even sense it. See, oftentimes spiritual burnout, breakdown, those things happen, and you didn't even see it coming. It hits you like a ton of bricks. Joy, gone. Peace, gone. And you think, gosh, how did I get here? Where did my joy go? How did this happen? It's like you woke up one morning and there it was. Gone. That's how the enemy works. Coal miners back in the day, they lacked the technology we have today. And so coal miners would do something really unique to be able to detect silent gas that would come into the coal mines, the shafts where they were. They would bring a whole birdcage full of yellow canaries down with them. I know that sounds kind of odd, just follow me for a moment. Yellow canaries are always chirping very loud, tweeting all the time, okay? They are the songbirds. They're the ones who don't, you know, be quiet. But yellow canaries, when they sense a shifting in air quality, they don't sing. They get quiet. And that quietness is a warning to coal miners. And so they would listen, and then when they didn't hear the chirping, they would pack up their stuff, they would get the birds, and they would go to higher ground. They would get away, because a silent killer is coming. But if it wasn't for the yellow canaries, they would have died. We're going to make a parallel here together. God has given you a gift that is that yellow canary. He's the third member of the Trinity, and his name is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who was given to us, just like in February with myself, to tell us this is what's missing. This is what you have to do. I'm here to give you joy. I'm here to take you deeper into the Word as you read it. I'm here to speak to you as you dedicate time to prayer. The Holy Spirit is the one that alerts us when joyless Christianity is setting in. That's why fellowship with the Holy Spirit is, bar none, the most important thing in the Christian life. Because it is God with us to lead us. Think about this. In John 14, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Okay, so following Jesus, hearing his teachings, we find joy, complete joy. Listen to what else he says in John 14. "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." Do you see the function and role of the Holy Spirit? To bring to life the teachings of Jesus in you. And what does Jesus promise? That if we walk in his teachings, we have what? Joy. Can you connect the dots with me? Can you see how important the Holy Spirit is? You want to have joy in your life? Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You want to have true joy that anchors the soul? Go deep in the Word of God in prayer. Don't settle for a new car. Don't settle for advancement in your career. Don't settle for that new house. That's stuff that's decaying. If you want true joy, the Holy Spirit is waiting with bucketfuls, ready to give to you because of the work that has already been done in the heavenlies. All right, let's round third and come home with Peter, because we can see that he's going somewhere. He's building something, and now he's getting really, really simple. Verse 8 and 9, although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You gotta pay very close attention to what Peter just said there, or else you'll miss it. This is one of those sections in Scripture that you need to slow down for a moment and really look at what was said. Peter says here that you're rejoicing with an indescribable joy, receiving the outcome of your faith, your salvation. But if you look carefully, those two things that they're experiencing presently, because remember, this is a letter, so Peter had to hear about what was happening in the church, and he says, you are experiencing joy. You're experiencing the salvation of your soul. Okay, so what's happening that's causing that in the church? He says two things. You haven't seen him, but first, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, and number two, you believe in him. Love and trust, or belief. Translated, what Peter's saying is, because you have deep love and big faith, you are full of indescribable joy. And I'm not talking about that kind of faith that's twisted, where it's like if you have a certain amount, then you have joy or you can be healed. Not that. We're talking about big faith as in trusting that God is who he says he is, that he has called us, that we understand what he is at work doing in our lives. That's the kind of clarity that the Holy Spirit wants to bring, because if you don't have that clarity and you're wandering, and you don't have that joy, it's a terrifying place to be, where you don't know where you're headed. You don't have that anchor, and you're just wandering. But the joy of simple love and faith in our our God and our King, it brings a clarity that we need, that the church needs. But it's built on those two things, according to Peter, love and faith. I'm going to ask a couple simple questions of us this morning. You know, the Father longs to pour out his love upon you, to shower you with a revelation of how much he loves you. But is it reciprocal? Do you love him? Do you love Jesus? Not a mindless rote creed that says, I believe in Jesus. I'm talking about, do you love him? Does your heart beat for the King? Does your heart long to experience him every day? I pray it does. I pray it does. To the degree that you will love your King, to that same level, he will meet you right where you're at with his love. And secondly, faith. Do you still believe? Do you still believe the calling of God on your life as a Christian? Have you been so robbed with bitterness, disappointment, discomfort, a routine of the Christian life? Have you been so robbed that you're not even able to imagine anymore the love, the trust of God, that the one who created the cosmos gives life to where there's death within you? Do you still trust and believe that? Because if you don't, it's going to be a sad end. But if you can have a concrete revelation of truth where joy pours in, you will see transformation begin to take place in how you see, how you think, how you speak, how you read, how you serve. And by just keeping it simple with love and having faith in him again, the result will be a joyous life full of an anchor deep inside where you won't be swayed by the hard times anymore. You won't be pushed to the side by the enemy, but you will stand your ground and fight the good fight because you recognize that who you are as a child of the living God is someone who cannot be messed with by the enemy, someone who will go through any wall for his King or her King. That is who you are. We just got to rip off the false identities. We got to rip off the false joys. And we got to have a concrete revelation of our King. Do you believe that? Oh my goodness, guys. Come on. Do you believe that? Okay? I will never be a puppet on stage. I will never say things that sound popular to get people here. I will only ever share my heart and what I know that God is speaking to the church. And I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, God wants to restore in this house two things very firmly: a radical and undying love for the King that cannot be quenched. And he's restoring big faith that will see us doing impossible things together. But if those two things are not in place, we will continue down a path that I believe falls short of what Jesus longs for in the church. Every single one of you have a part to be in that journey of what God is doing here. It begins with three letters, one word, joy. That's where it begins. Amen? All right, here's what we're doing. That was much better. You're with me. Okay, here's what we're doing this morning. Rather than responding maybe down front to this, we're going to stand together right now, and we're going to have a corporate time of prayer. I'm going to lead us, and we're going to ask for the Spirit of God to pour out that joy, and then we'll come to the table. But I want everyone to please stand with me, and Mike and the team, come on up. All right, you've heard me talking a lot this morning about joy. Probably been overly passionate because, man, it's like a fire burning in my bones. But this is our time, okay? As I'm praying, I want you to have one thing in your mind and heart. I want you to be praying, asking the Holy Spirit to give you joy, to restore joy, to restore love and expectation in Jesus. Are you with me? All right, I'm going to begin praying. Don't let my voice get in the way. If you want, lift your voice. Pray with me. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring that joy. Father, we love you this morning. God, you are glorious. We bless your holy name. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the joy that you bring in the church. We thank you for the transformation that you long to bring. And we ask, Father, as one church, that you pour out the spirit of joy, that you pour out a fresh revelation of who you are. Give us concrete truth, Father, to see and to be transformed. Where there are dry bones, Lord, bring them to life within us. Where there is death, Father, bring resurrection power. The same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead resides within us. Holy Spirit, we say, come. Renovate us, Holy Spirit. We lay sin down before you. We lay laziness down before you. Lethargy, disappointment, our discomforts. We lay it all down before you, and we pick up the mantle of joy because of who we are, what we possess, and what you have already done. We receive it, Father, in faith. We receive joy. When we wake up tomorrow, Father, remind us of this prayer. Remind us of what you've done. And let our hearts be overwhelmed by your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray together, unified in one voice. Amen. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to come to the table together and you're going to come back to your seats. And then we're going to do something unique this morning concerning one of our own leaders here at High Mill Church. But before we get to that, we're coming to the table to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus and what he is at work doing in this church and in the church around the world. All right, you're free to come, those who are followers of Christ, and I will lead us in a moment. Lift this together. This is the bread, the body of Jesus. Father, with the utmost joy, we lift this, recognizing that you willingly gave it all for us. And Father, may the appropriate response always be joy. May it always be thankfulness and gratitude for your broken body for us. And so, Lord, we break this symbolically together to symbolize what you have done. We say thank you and receive with joy. May receive. Let's lift the juice together, symbolic of the blood of Jesus. But Father, we say thank you for your blood. We say thank you for your sacrifice. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And we're thankful, Father. We overflow with joy because our sins are forgiven. All things that were being made new, even as we speak. And that brings joy, Father. We love you, we worship you, and we thank you for your blood that cleanses us. we receive with joy. Amen. I want you to take a seat for a moment. Keep going. Okay. You know, being away and now coming back. Actually, you know what? Yeah, hang on a second. Being away and coming back, it's been so exciting to see what God is doing in this church. And it's a testament to so many behind the scenes who do such excellent work here at High Mill. And I'm so proud to be part of an amazing team. You know, I knew that God was going to be doing exciting things here. And seeing them even behind the scenes, I can't wait to flesh those out, to communicate those changes. The transformation that God's doing in this house, it's exciting. But I knew that also applied to even leaders at High Mill. And I saw what God was doing. And one of those is our own Pastor Daniel, who this morning we're actually going to be praying over to launch both he and Kristen out to go deeper into the calling to becoming a lead pastor. It's an excitement for us as a team, for us as a church, and we knew that this was coming. In fact, for Daniel and I, you know, being a best friend and a brother, you get many privileges. You get to know the journey that you both are on. And this had been stirring in his heart for a while, a calling to becoming a lead pastor. And even before, you know, this interim period, we knew that was rumbling around, that God was going to be doing that fresh new thing. And so I told him, and I know he remembers, before he took on the interim role, which, by the way, when I found out I would get to do surgery, or my liver surgery for a child, I thought to myself, what an amazing opportunity for Pastor Daniel to step in, to be an interim pastor, to experience this journey. And I said to him, it would either confirm your call, or you would be like, yeah, this isn't, no, I'm good. And then maybe be, you know, be a youth pastor here at High Mill still. Well, as we both kind of thought, he felt the calling, and it confirmed it. And he was ready, you know, to step out and begin that journey of becoming a lead pastor. And now I'll be very transparent and very honest with all of us. The quick timing of all this that's taking place in relation to me coming back, that part was unexpected and did pose challenges for us as a team to do a transition the best way we could. Because I've been asked by many, why is this so abrupt? Why is this happening? You just got back. And so transparency is always best. And so I want to be very clear that this entire process for Daniel launching out was initiated by him feeling God speaking, it's now. It's now. I'm ready. I'm ready to turn that page and go to where God is leading me. See, transitions are hard for churches. It's hard for every church, including High Mill. Whether it be leaders moving on, a leader going, having surgery, away for 3 months and coming back, those are all transitions, and they're hard for churches. And so what we had desired and agreed to ahead of time was to not make any of those changes or anything until, you know, we had a lot of time for me to get back on my own 2 feet, for our team to do it right if that was the case. But, you know, when I met with Daniel and he shared with me where he was at, he knew God is speaking. It's now. I got to communicate now. I'm ready for this change now. You know, I was talking to a friend. Transitions are kind of like whiplash, you know, when you get in a car, oh, you know, going back and forth. That's what we wanted to prevent. And so with me just coming back and now this transition, we recognize that it might not be ideal for the church, but God is faithful. God is faithful for both Pastor Daniel and Kristen, as well as High Mill. And so he explained to me that he wanted to share with our staff and the youth and our church, and as an eldership team, you know, we realized, who are we to stand in the way of what God was speaking passionately in his heart to get that out? And so, of course, we did the best we could to make that transition happen very quickly behind the scenes. And so about, I think it was a week before I returned, Dan and I met, he shared with the staff, and then this past Wednesday with the youth, and they surrounded him in prayer and prayed over both of them. Bittersweet, obviously. And now this morning, we'll get to do the same thing of surrounding them in prayer. And I say bittersweet, but it's also part excitement because we're watching somebody step out in faith into their call. That's what it looks like. we get a share in the same success that they have. We have to remember that we're part of the church locally and globally. And so we have a share in that step of faith that they are taking together. But I wanted to be clear this morning that that quickness, that was God moving in his heart. And so anyone who thought, man, this is abrupt, he initiated and felt that, and we wanted to get out of the way to allow him to do what he felt, you know, was best for the next part of his call. And so our team worked together behind the scenes to, we worked very fast to put together an exciting kind of interim plan for our youth ministry for the next generation. And I'm proud to say we worked hard and we have a good idea of where we're headed, and we're excited. We worked hard on even putting together, okay, so what's next? You know, a new student ministry pastor in that role. Whew, we got to get to work, right? Because we want to have an excellent, thriving ministry here, and that requires leaders who are stepping in. Here we go. And so we were able to achieve those two things, as well as a third one, which we worked very hard behind the scenes with our financial manager here at High Mill, and that was put together an extremely generous financial and benefits package that we could bless them with to send them out, that they would be okay to go from this transition to the next with confidence, peace of mind, and security. And I'm thankful to say, because of an excellent group of elders, very professional individuals, we worked hard, we achieved all those goals, both for Pastor Daniel and Kristen, as well as for High Mill Student Ministry, and I saw our team come together quickly and work amazingly. And you should be proud of our team here and what God is doing. And so after we got our head wrapped around all those details and we kind of got, okay, we got to adapt, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, we realized, wow, how exciting that we get to be part of a launch of one of our own for Daniel, Pastor Daniel and Kristen, to see them go and to be the support base, the launching base. That's exciting. Bittersweet, of course, but exciting. Any leader who goes from one family into another, when it's because of a deeper call, we applaud that, right? We get behind that and we support that. Pastor Daniel and Kristen have committed to keep us in the know about what's next, that we can celebrate appropriately together as a church. And so, you know, I told, and we've prayed and we've talked all this through already as an eldership team, but what we've encouraged them with is that you're basically going up the mountain like Moses to hear from God and see what's next. And I have confidence, I know as does every single leader here, that God is going to speak something beautiful, something clear, something exciting that we will get to celebrate. Amen? Are you with me on that? Okay, so here's how we're going to do this. I would love to have all of our youth group come on down front first. Yeah, sorry, I'm making you do this again, and it might be emotional, okay? Just come on down front. Right here. I would love all staff, leaders, elders, those close to Pastor Dan, and Mike, you're coming down. We're going to surround them. No, what are you guys doing? Come on now. We're making a big claustrophobic cluster of people, okay? We're going to make them feel claustrophobic. All right, leaders, come on down. And Jane, would you come on down as well? And I'm asking everybody in the church, as Jane is praying, I'm asking for you to pray as well, because it's a leap of faith, and we're going to support them and be their biggest champion, encouragers on the side, but this is a moment where we're praying in the heavenlies that God would speak clarity. You guys can come on down. Sorry, should have said that part, Pastor Daniel and Kristen. Yeah, come on in closer. Okay, can we all stand together, kind of extend our hands, and after we pray, I'll come back on and dismiss us.
Pastor Daniel and Kristen, I just want you to know one thing, that you are loved and you are have been appreciated. And in the flesh, I would say I hate to see you go. But you know what? God's putting you on a new journey, a higher calling, and he's going to use you mightily. Doors will open. And you're going to think, this is a door I'm going to go through. But if it closes, it's okay. Because God will open that door. And when he does, no man is going to close it. You're going to go forth with an understanding that as you walk through that door, you and your helpmate, your wife, I am grateful for you. Although I'd want to shed some tears and say I hate to see you go. But this new journey is for you. And he will not send you out. You've been equipped to do this. And you did your job faithfully. And now, you dear servants, go with our love and the peace of the Lord. And you know, as some of us, well, there will be tears. But you know the joy of the Lord is a strength. And so, Father, fill us with that joy for him and Kristen on this new journey and their family. Father, I thank you for Pastor Daniel and Christian. Father, just so they know how loved they really are. So, Lord, Pastor Daniel, if you see these tears in Christian, you'll know they're tears of love and hoping and praying for you the best. Taking a new journey isn't always easy, but God will lead you the whole way. And I thank him. I ask a blessing for you. I ask for heavenly anointing on you. And so, God, you will direct him and guide him. And we give you all the honor and glory. And we thank you again, Lord, for them and the work they did. In Jesus' name, go in the love of the Lord.
We are free to be dismissed, but I encourage you, before you leave, come up, encourage Pastor Daniel, Kristen, give them a big hug, and so they know they're well supported here at High Mill. Amen. Have a great week, and we'll see you guys Wednesday and next Sunday.